You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information.
Hi, and welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
We're your hosts, Aaron and Jennifer Smith.
We have been married 15 years and have five sweet children who are growing up way too fast.
We love God and we love marriage.
And we love to be honest about it all.
Marriage is not always a walk in the park, but we do believe it has a powerful purpose.
So our goal here is to open up the conversation to talk about our faith and our marriage.
Especially in light of the gospel.
We certainly don't have all the answers, but if you stick around, we may just make you laugh.
But our hope is to encourage you to chase boldly after God's purpose for your life together.
This is Marriage After God.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. We're your hosts. Back at it.
Back
at it.
Here we go.
Today, we're going to be talking about discussing friendships.
That was kind of redundant.
I know. Talking about and discussing are both similar things. But we're going to talk about that, you know, cultivating deep friendships, the necessity of friendships, also how it can be difficult in our relationships with our friends, but how it's all part of the process. And so that's what we're talking about today.
This episode is brought to you by our free 30-day marriage prayer challenge. Simply go to marriageprayerchallenge.com to sign up, and it's completely free. Over 130,000 husbands and wives have already taken this challenge. Join now, and every day you will receive an email with some scripture and a prompt for a specific area to pray for your spouse. Just go to marriageprayerchallenge.com and sign up today.
So we're talking about friends.
We love friends.
We have friends.
We've had a lot of different friends over the years. Just thinking about all the many places in the world we've been.
We have friends in several countries. And of course, we don't see all of them all the time. But we have friends in a lot of states, too.
Yeah. I feel like I'm really grateful for all the opportunities we've had to cultivate friendships at different times throughout our marriage. And it just kind of blows my mind, Aaron. It's like no matter where we've been, no matter how long or how short of a time we've been in that place, mm-hmm. God has provided real friendships, deep friendships. But it was up to us to make the choice to invest into those relationships and what they would be like.
Yeah, I agree. We've had many relationships that we've had to invest in. But I also feel like that God's used all of those relationships probably the most in our life to grow us, to mature us, to point out areas that God wanted us to change in. So not only did we have the benefit of those friends for our joy and that closeness and connection, but also for our spiritual growth and maturity.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think that happened because of the time we chose to invest into those relationships. And, you know, even when hard times came or challenges came, we use those opportunities to press on in love and to do our best to cultivate those relationships. And we weren't perfect at it. I feel like we're kind of say that a lot in every aspect of our life, but it's true. There were mistakes that we made at times. There were things we probably could have done to make friendships easier, you know?
Yeah. Or just being better friends in general.
Just like in marriage, when you're in close proximity to another person and there's sometimes that friction, you know, when our flesh just gets kind of like agitated.
Stickiness.
Yeah. So anyways, that happens. But I feel like nostalgic just thinking about our friendships over the years and all the laughs, the cries, the pranks we've done together, the catchphrases we've had, the adventures.
The games. The staying up late.
The hot tubs, the jacuzzi times, discussions we've had. I mean, I'm feeling very grateful for all of the different relationships that we've had.
Yeah, this topic actually came up from one of our friends. Mm-hmm. I went to Portland with a friend to go pick up a part for his tractor or something like that. And I was like, hey, we need an idea for a topic. And he's like, huh. He's like, why don't you talk about like relationships and friendships and like how awesome they are, but how hard they are, and how, and then we just started writing down, I was writing down all these notes and texting them to Jennifer while we were driving.
So thank you, Cody. I know you're listening. Yeah. Cody and his wife, Stacy, and all of their children, we have been good friends with them for almost 9 years now. And it's one of those, like, it feels like family.
All of our kids have been like
friends with
born their, together yeah. almost, and then have been growing up together.
And our goal is to like grow old together and live next door. So we're working on that.
isn't that everyone's goal? They just want to have like this like small community with all their friends living down the street.
I don't know if everyone feels like that, but it's a good goal.
Yeah. All those introverts out there are like, yeah, right.
Well, we thought we would just kind of ask each other a couple of questions about friendship and get the conversation started. And
I actually like this format, because when I was praying about this episode today, and I was thinking, man, I don't feel like I've got a grasp on this idea of like being a good friend. It's something that I'm constantly learning, and friendships are hard at times, especially when you allow yourself to be so close. So I like that we're gonna be asking these questions. And I just want everyone that's listening to know, our heart is to, again, we always do encourage you and to remind you that you're not alone, that God has plans for us, and that he desires us to grow in oneness and unity with his body, the church. And so hopefully, just us going back and forth, answering some questions, you glean something out of it.
And my encouragement to you guys listening would be, if you already have strong friendships in your life, our hope would be that this episode just inspires you with some creative ways to engage in your friendships and cultivate them in deep ways. And if you're listening and you already are thinking like, man, I really want that. I want a deep friendship. I want friendships of married couples where, you know, you and your spouse are friends with another couple. Our heart and prayer is just that God would provide that for you, and that you would be willing to invest in those friendships. And so around, we just hope that this is a good episode that encourages you.
All right. So we have some questions here, and then we'll just go back and forth.
All right. Let's do it.
So I'll ask you the first question.
Okay.
What did friendship look like for you growing up?
Well, I come from a big family, and like my family's families were even bigger. And so I had a lot of aunts and uncles, a lot of cousins. Friendship for our family was our family. Like, there wasn't a lot of outside friendship. We were all friends with each other. And so as I grew up and I was going to school, like, I started building friendships a little bit later, like junior high, high school. But yeah, that's kind of what, like, most like hangout time or events, everything was surrounded around our big family.
But you had a few core friends growing up.
Yep. Yeah. Like 2-3 girlfriends that I was close to.
Yeah,
a few more than that.
I think it was very similar for me. I had not in the family, actually opposite.
Had a lot of friends.
Yeah, our family had a lot of friends, and we saw our direct family periodically throughout the year, and so I saw a different example. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I had two really good friends growing up. And I'm no longer like that close with them anymore. We've moved on, but that was my kind of experience. Was I just had a couple that we did everything.
And really quickly, I'll share, and I think I speak for both of us. We both had a desire when we were, you know, 18, 19, 20 to marry our best friend. And so when we met and started building our friendship, Aaron, we cultivated it knowing that we were moving towards marriage. And there was this really beautiful aspect to our friendship, knowing that we were going to be friends in marriage. And I don't know about you, but I love that.
Yeah. Cause
even now I feel
like you're
my best friend.
Friends first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it never changed. I feel like you are my best friend.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. All right. Well, the next question is, what was your desire for friendship? So going back to childhood or growing up times, like what did you seek in a friendship? What did you want?
I think that, so friendship was one of those things where I just could go be me and hang out with that person that I enjoyed being around. Mm-hmm. And it was like get out of my house, go to their house, whole new environment.
Yeah. and eat their snacks and their cap.
They always had they always had snacks.
My friends always had better snacks and like
that's true.
More
like
food.
Moon pies. What?
That's, those are not good. Sorry,
I loved them.
No,
I didn't have moon pies in my house. So my desire for friendship, I think, was more of like just kind of escape, having my own zone. And my friends were that zone.
I can't stop thinking about how gross moon pies are, but you know it's good. Oatmeal pies.
It's graham crackers, no. Chocolate, and marshmallows. What's that good
I don't
about
know.
That?
There's something about it, but oatmeal pies are really good. Okay. It's good to have differences in friendship, see?
Yeah.
So that only one person is eating all the moon pies.
What was your desire for friendship? Was there something
being serious
there?
Again? Okay.
Yeah, getting back to it.
I really desired to have a closeness in relationship where you can share deep thoughts or experiences together, you know, go do things together, which I often did with my girlfriends. So that's I appreciated good. That. Yeah.
So some of these questions, these are kind of like been past like ways of viewing friendship, but the friendship we're talking about now goes beyond what we kind of used to experience it like in junior high school, like grade school, but we're talking about deep relationship, friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, with other believers. So what has been the greatest thing about those kinds of friendships?
Can you answer that first?
Sure. I would say I love having friends who know me, who love me. And that means they share with me things that they see weaknesses they see in me, but also they just enjoy me and want to be around me. And those are really cool things.
Yeah. So there's two things that come to mind for me. The first thing is when you're known by a friend, special things happen. So they get you your favorite drink at random times, or they'll, they know you so well that they tune in to who you are and what you like. And that makes you feel loved and special and like thought of, which I really appreciate in friendship. And the other thing is spontaneity. So, you know, just the random, hey, what are you doing for dinner? Come over. And not really even needing to make a plan. That makes me feel like our friendship is so close because there's a reliance upon each other and like a camaraderie of let's do this thing together, even if it's short notice. I don't know why. I just love that.
Okay. So we talked about the greatest thing, and there's probably lots of things we could talk about, like how great it is to have a good friend. What's a hard thing about these kinds of friendships?
The absolute hardest thing about friendship for me is conflict. And when I know that I've hurt someone or said the wrong thing or wasn't very clear in a text message and I've made someone feel a certain way negatively.
Offenses,
or hurt. Sensitivities that I really struggle with because I want peace and I want love and I want joy and I don't want the hard stuff. And so when I'm confronted with the hard stuff and there needs to be a conversation or, you know, let's flush this thing out, even though those things are really good and God has his special way of working through us in those things, it's really hard.
That's true. I would agree. I'll add an additional layer to it. Because I don't like, no one likes conflict. I know there's people.
I feel like you're okay with it. Like
I used to be a lot more like, yeah, let's argue and let's figure this stuff out. I don't like it as much anymore. I think though there's a part of me because I have multiple friends, and I don't like when there's conflict between my other friends. And I have these friends, and I'm like, oh, where do I land in the middle of this?
Oh, gotcha.
So I don't like that feeling. And so, but which is, it's a good thing because then it caused me like, how can I participate in helping these friends?
Which God has
mend
used you
and,
in that.
And
that's good.
Yeah. So, but I hate that.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if anyone is like, yay, you know, hard times, friends.
There's hard things about friendships. All right. What is your initial reaction to conflict in friendship?
Before I answer that, I feel like everyone's listening. These are probably what everyone is going to relate to the most is these hard ones, which is kind of like interesting to think about. Maybe I'm wrong, but, initial reaction to conflict, depending on the level of conflict, cause there's totally different gammas. What's that? It's not even a word. I don't think, different like levels of conflict. But when they're like hard conflicts, things that need to be dealt with, things that need to be flushed out and talked about, I think my first response is like run away maybe. Like, I'm like, I feel like in this flesh is like, I don't want to be here right now. I don't want to have to deal with this. Why is this even here?
Can I tell you what I think your initial response is?
Sure.
I feel like it's, well, what does the Bible say? Well, what is God saying? Well, what? And you always bring it back.
That's what I say out loud. Inside, though, I'm like trying to retreat into myself. But yes.
The word that I thought for myself, initial reaction to conflict, is escape. Like you said, run away. Just, this is too hard. Yeah. Which I think is normal.
It is, because
but not that we should do it.
We talked about this in a few episodes ago about living either in the past or constantly looking far ahead into the future. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that retreat is less of a, I just want to escape the relationship, but more of a, I want to run away to a time when this conflict didn't exist.
Yeah. Like, can I have a time machine and go back?
Yeah. Can we just skip over this or go back to where, when it was like nice and comfortable and not hard. So I think that's what that running feeling is.
Yeah.
That's a guess, okay. But.
So why are friends important to you? Why do you keep them around?
Well, specifically speaking of this idea of friendships within the church, like walking in fellowship with other believers, it's absolutely necessary. First of all, we can't be autonomous islands floating around. That's not what Jesus came to do, is create a bunch of independent islands that float. And he came to make a body, you know, and a bride. And so these friendships and the necessity of them and cultivating them and digging in and being transparent and working through the hard things. Mm-hmm. And, they're just absolutely necessary, in my opinion, to the body of Christ, to us as individual believers.
So you keep mentioning, you know, having friends within the fellowship and within, you know, church settings, but we're also like, this also ties into having that friend that your best friend, like someone who's very close to you, or another couple who you guys walk to together with, like, right? Like, it's all encompassing.
Yeah, there's always going to be, I feel like there's always going to be like these circles, and they kind of go out.
Overlap, yeah.
And they overlap. And I feel like there's always going to be probably that one or two friends that you feel the most comfortable going to. But often those are also the ones that end up having the hardest situations, I think, because mm-hmm. you're so close mm-hmm. and so intertwined. But I think as believers, not just being satisfied, but not just saying that, oh, I have my one friend and I don't need anyone else. Really, we need everyone. And so learning to not just always lay the burden on that one friend or couple, but doing that, making things known, but also knowing that we can go to others in the body and use each other in a good way, not a bad use. But
Well, the question is, why are friends important to you? And that's what I was going to say is, what did you just say before you said use? I got thrown off with that.
Going to
each other. And, you know, just having that friend that you can text and say, hey, I'm having a down day. I need prayer for this, this, and this. And so I think friendship is important because it's supporting one another through life. It's experiencing life together. And I think God created us to walk in a place of unity in those types of relationships. And so, I don't know, I get really encouraged by having friends in my life that are close to me so that I can reach out to them and talk with them and be encouraged by them and encourage them. It's like a back and forth.
Well, and it's also important because it's one of the main ways that we practice being the church is to each other. Mm-hmm. Jesus makes it very clear, and the Bible itself makes it very clear that our unity, our oneness as a church, as a bride, as a body, is a message to the world that says God sent Jesus and that Jesus rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible teaches. And so that, you know, are friends important? Yes. It's not just that we have this, you know, surface level friend. We have deep, real fellowship relationships in the body of Christ to practice being Christ's body with.
Okay. So what do you think makes you a really good friend?
Well, me personally, I am always a really good friend, and actually contradicts exactly what I said in the beginning of this, where I'm learning how to be a good friend. What makes...
Like what's unique about Aaron? If I was going to have a friendship with Aaron, what?
Oh, you literally want to know what makes uniquely me a good friend. Yeah. Okay. I think there's, I have, if you were to ask the same question about like the opposite of what makes me the bad friend.
That's the next question is what makes you a difficult friend? Do you want to answer that one first?
Well, I was going to say we'll that I have strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
And some of my strengths, when not used appropriately, are my greatest weaknesses. And so I can be very strong and forward confident in my way of thinking. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not careful, that comes off as arrogant and rude. And as if I'm not listening. Hmm. Jennifer, you've never experienced that in our marriage, have you? From Mm-mm. me? Yeah, probably not. but it comes off as that. But at the same time, that's a good thing when I'm using it well, yeah, to exhort and to encourage and to remind my friends of the truth.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. And there's another word, that I've always used is benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. I've had seasons where I'm not that great at it, but giving the benefit of the doubt, trying to overlook offenses, which has also gotten me in trouble, but that is something, like I said, greatest weakness, greatest strengths.
Okay.
I don't know. Does that make sense? Is everyone listening? So. Like, yeah, I get that.
If I was going to answer this, when you're kind of tying those two things together, greatest weakness and struggle, mm-hmm, what came to my mind is I feel like I'm a really thoughtful friend. Like I have all these thoughts of like, oh, this thing would make a really good gift for my friend. That's
accurate.
Okay. But my weakness is sometimes those thoughts stay thoughts.
Come out of you.
Well, I'm not so great at the execution of my thoughts and my intentions. And so sometimes maybe I think I'm speaking.
You take it's the thought that counts to a whole new level. All I'm having is the thought.
Yeah. There are times that I do follow through, and those are really great times. And if I could do it more, I think that would be a good thing. But yeah, that's, mm-hmm, I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then there's times that you overthink.
Oh, wait. Something. Overthink. Yeah. Yeah. I should. Yeah. That's so true. Okay. Moving on. Do you like the one-on-one time or group time? So this would be like, hey, I'm going to go have coffee with my best friend, or us as a couple are going to go hang out with this couple, or this family is going to hang out with our family. What do you like?
All the above.
Yeah, I know you do.
So I love your friends. I like all of it. I like the one-on-one time. Like I said, I just got to go on a quick trip, round trip with my friend Cody. And those are always really awesome times because we just get to talk and kind of download and vent and share and encourage and just remind each other of things that, mm-hmm, we've maybe forgotten about in our lives. And so that's really good. Helps me. I feel like that's an easier thing to do because, mm-hmm, it's only engaging with one person. But I also just love group time and group conversations.
I'm there.
I usually get into trouble in the group times because of the way I communicate. That's
funny. But I like all of it too.
All the above.
That's the easy answer.
You like the one time when you get to just you too.
I am my best friend.
Yeah.
No. Okay. What is your favorite thing to do together with friends?
Go to dinner. I like eating good food with my friends.
That's fun.
That's a real thing I do.
I like it when our friends come over for dinner because then all the kids just play and it's easy.
That's true. And I love it. And
I also like camping with friends.
You know what? I remember we used to not, like, we were so apprehensive about camping in the beginning, but we've fallen in love with camping and it's so much fun with friends.
Yeah. I think because our kids are getting older too. Like our kids make it really fun.
Yeah. Cause they go do fun things and get dirty and it's awesome. Yeah. So I want to get into this idea of like, do we even need these deep relational friendships that like this fellowship with one another, this idea of like, do we need that? Or is it okay to just have surface level relationships?
Well, I'm going to start with a verse. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
So you actually removed my other verse that was on here. I had two versions this. Yeah, there was a...
Maybe I left it down here.
Did you? Because I want to read both of them.
Right here.
So this is the New King James version of that same verse. Says, and I'm just surprised at how different they are, but there's a reason. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Okay, that is way different. And I was looking at this verse thinking, okay, if I have too many friends, then I'm going to ruin everything. But if I have just like one or two close friends, then that'd be really good.
So
I was maybe reading into
this
it.
This is exactly why I wanted to share both versions of it. Because mm-hmm. I was trying to distinguish and understand why they're both there, because they do sound so different, but they're not contradictory.
Yeah.
What it's saying is that if a man of many companions may come. Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today. To ruin this idea of you have a lot of people in your life, but no depth.
Mm.
You're going to come to ruin. And then the other version says, if you have friends, you must be friendly. The idea is like, how are you investing in these, not just companions, not just people that walk next to you, like you're what, you know, let's go for a walk, but like people that you actually engage with. And so I think both have it's why it's a good reason to look into multiple versions of script of the Bible. It helps you get a bit more round idea of the topics, but they both essentially mean the same thing. You can't just have a bunch of people in your life that you have no relationship with. Those are just companions, and you actually are alone being deceived, thinking you have friends.
But the word friend, like, that means something. It's special.
Yeah.
It's not just a neighbor. It's not just someone, you know, that you see every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus calls us his friends. He says, you're no longer servants. You're my friends. Mm-hmm. And if you were servants, I wouldn't tell you, you know, what I am discussing with my father. But since you're my friends, I share freely with you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus even displays this idea of like, when you're not just having this surface level relationship,
you're being known.
You're opening up and being known and sharing
mm-hmm.
with one another. And so I would say we absolutely need deep friendships. Jennifer and I were kind of having a little back and forth on this in the beginning of like, our friendship's actually necessary. And I think it's an absolute, like, I don't think you can do without it.
And I wasn't,
in the church.
I wasn't disagreeing with you. I was saying, for the sake of our listeners, if there are people who, for whatever reason, don't have deep friendships, I didn't want anyone to feel like, what do you mean they're necessary? You know, like, I want there to be understanding and love and peace.
And I do understand that. And my heart would be that those people would long for that and find that connection and be plugged in. That's like a term that a lot of churches use. Be mm-hmm. plugged in. What does that mean? Plugged into what? The body of Christ. First John, the majority of that, the first couple chapters of that is about how we love each other. Mm-hmm. And if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, then we're deceiving ourselves and we're liars and the truth is not in us. Jesus even, he prays specifically for the disciples and for those who believe in his name because of the disciples, that we would be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. So you can't be one with the body and not have, and not be friends with the body.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be one with the body and be a floating island that has no depth of relationship. No one knows you. No one gets to dig into your life and you dig into their life. That's not reality. That's called a free radical. Like, if we're thinking body, like when you have a cell that's just kind of moving around and not doing what it's supposed to do.
Mm.
So I would say deep friendships and relationships and fellowship in the body are absolutely a necessity. I'm sure there can people be, can disagree with me, but that's my feeling on this.
Okay. Okay. Well, cultivating deep friendship is not an easy task. It's not mm-mm. It doesn't come natural for all. So, you know, how do people do this? How do they cultivate a deep relationship, a friendship, especially when, you know, it's not easy to relate to each other or there's differences?
Yeah, it's hard. I think the first thing we need to recognize is if we're going into if we're looking for friendships for merely what I'm going to get out of it.
Yeah, like, is this person going to benefit me, bless me, serve me, love me?
They match my personality. They're in my same life stage, which those are good things and those help create friendships. But if all you're looking for is they make me feel comfortable, they bless me, when I'm around them, I feel good, which I'm not saying those are bad things, but if that's all we're looking for, the moment that changes, what happens? Mm-hmm. You're going to assume, well, this is no longer for me.
Or if you meet someone that has the potential to be a close friend, but you put up a wall because it's immediately difficult or there's differences.
Or you're afraid of difficulty.
Or different.
Like you're defensive against, then like, you'll never, I don't want to be hurt.
Yeah. Then you'll never know or invest in that potential relationship.
Yeah. I think about Jesus, and he invited 12 men to follow him for 3 years. They ate, slept, laughed, worked, traveled.
Fought.
ran from mobs, prayed over people, saw miracles. One of those men was Judas. Jesus invited Judas, knowing full well who he was and what was going to take place in his heart. And I think sometimes if all we have is a selfish motivation of our friendships, then there's always going to be this protection of only as long as I don't get hurt. But what that's saying is don't ever do anything to hurt me otherwise.
Yeah, we kind of have that perspective in marriage sometimes. We have that wall of, absolutely, like, don't hurt me, don't touch me, don't do that, or else, you know.
Yeah, and it's okay to not want to be hurt. No one likes being hurt. Jesus wasn't excited about being hurt, but he did it out of obedience to God. He did it for his bride. And so that's where the sacrificial love comes in. And I wrote up here, how do we move past the honeymoon stage of friendships? And you brought up marriage. There's a honeymoon phase of, like, everything's fun and beautiful and light and easy and exciting and new. And then that slowly fades away when reality hits in. People don't have time for you like you want them to.
Or there's that friction.
Or they forget about you because of things going on in their life. Or, like, these are real things. Or there's an actual offense.
Yeah.
You did something, said something. They did something, said something. And that honeymoon phase it just dissipates. And then you actually are stuck with, like, am I going to still love this person? Am I going to humble myself and ask for forgiveness?
What have we experienced when we've moved past that honeymoon stage in our friendships with others and have overcome the conflict or the hardship or the challenges? Do you experience?
I think just like marriage, like, the longer you're in it, the more we overcome these difficulties, these hardships, you look back and you have a more vibrant, more strong, more trusting, more powerful marriage. I think that's the same with our relationships in the church, with other believers, with our friends, is you become stronger for it. I think if we can get past these hard things in love and forgive and not just kind of pretend and hide, but, like, actually, like, address and actually deal with and actually reconcile, I think those friendships become stronger. I think that's the ideal perspective.
So in marriage, when, you know, there's conflict or, you know, difficulties, you kind of have that whole covenant thing to hold you together and be like, well, we're married, so we got to do this. Where in friendship, sometimes, and maybe I'm the only one here, I doubt it, you get tempted to think, well, I can let this go. Well, I don't have to because I'm not in a covenant. So how do you take those things that come up and, you know, your flesh tries to justify, like, is this a sign that we shouldn't be hanging out together? Or is this some sort of, you know, warning? Or, you know, does God really want me to fill in the blank?
Yeah. I think there's definitely not the same covenantal relationship that a husband and wife has, where you don't have that same thing with friends. We do have a level of obligation as Christians. It says, you know, owe no one anything except the outstanding debt of love to one another. So we do out of obligation in the body of Christ that we are to love one another. But
with that, you're saying don't give up easily.
I would say currently in general, the disposition is easily give up. Like I'm going to move on. I'm not. And there's probably people on here that are like, no, I fight. And so I think there are those people in the church. But I would say it's definitely easier in our flesh to want to avoid, want to move on, want to not have to deal with the messiness, especially with everything else in our life that we have to deal with. So not making it easy because we love that other person. Mm-hmm. Right. So we don't just first offense, like, oh, I'm out of here. But like, we like, hey, I want to actually walk with this person because I love them, because maybe they didn't recognize it. Maybe they didn't know me. But I also want to say there are times when we do get to walk, we should walk away from certain relationships. We can still love them in Christ. We can still want the best for them. We can still pray for them, but at a distance.
Like having a healthy boundary, knowing that for whatever reason, that specific relationship is toxic in a way, or is not healthy.
Well, but only after testing it. Because it tells it, the word also says, do everything you can that within your power to be at peace with all men.
So if you
that doesn't mean you can't, or that doesn't mean you can with all, everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you've tried, if you've attempted, if you've prayed through it, if you've walked through it and you're like, you know what, this is, nothing's changing, then I would say absolutely. Like there's good cause to separate from a relationship. Like there's no covenantal obligation, but I think as believers that we shouldn't make it easy to do that.
Can I throw you a curveball?
Absolutely.
Maybe I'm the only one thinking this, maybe not. So what happens if, let's say, you and I have a friendship with another couple or family, and I'm finding it difficult and I'm pulling away saying, I really don't think that we should, you know, continue on in this relationship, but you're really excited to carry on the relationship and build that friendship. And so it becomes a thing between us in the marriage, you know, when there's one spouse for it and one spouse that's not for it, how do you navigate that?
That's a hard one. I first and foremost, there should be priority given to your spouse. And so there should be lots of discussion and prayer about those relationships and what that means.
Yeah.
So I don't have a cut and dry answer of
that's good.
One way or the other. Yeah.
Prayer, discernment.
Yep. Sometimes fasting and just lots of prayer to make things work sometimes.
Okay. Since I'm really good at asking questions, here's the next one. Can we get too comfortable in our friendships? What does that mean? You're just going through the motions.
Well, I think the comfort, I think there could be a level of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
Like we just assume like, oh, they're great. We're great. Everything's great. They're busy. I'm busy. Okay. Cool.
What's really hard about that is come to find out for months they've been suffering or struggling and there wasn't open communication. And why was that happening? But one thing that we really wanted to share with you guys today is an encouragement to ask deep questions in your friendships. Be willing to ask, how are you really doing? And pressing into that. How is your marriage doing? How's parenting going?
Yeah, I had lunch with a friend today and the first thing, how's your marriage? That was the first thing he said to me.
And then being honest to respond, you know, how is your relationship with God? Is there any sin in your life that you're struggling with? How can I be praying for you? Like these are questions that you can't just say yes or no to. They have to be explained. And I think what makes asking these questions hard to do is if you're not willing to share on the other end to be asked in reciprocation. So think about these before you ask them, but be willing to ask them, which means you're willing to answer them.
Yeah. And I think we can also get too comfortable in a way, not just necessarily asking important questions, but I think we can also at times speak to our friends, maybe in a inconsiderate way, maybe because we're so comfortable. We're kind of just like, we're speaking, we're venting,
we've had that
forgetting that they're people that hear the things that we're saying and receive them. And I think that could happen. That's one of my weaknesses is my tongue, the way I speak sometimes can hurt people. So this next one, I'm going to ask and also give an answer to it. Because I think it's in the church, it can be easy. And in real life, in any part of life to connect the quickest and the closest and the most intimate with people similar to us. They mm-hmm. think like us, they're in similar life stages.
Kind of makes it easy.
It's very easy. But how do we as the church recognize that we can also pursue relationships and friendships in the church with people who love God, who aren't exactly like us.
Mm-hmm. And enjoy those friendships.
And enjoy them, yeah. And I'm thinking, like, maybe they have a slightly different worldview. Maybe they have slightly different perspectives on and biblical beliefs. Mm-hmm. Because this is just the reality in the church. There's so many different, like, caveats that people have. And I'm not saying on the main things, but I'm saying, like, the little details. Can we have deep friendships with those people? Should we be having our minds on those people and thinking, I'm going to go out of my way because I want to get to know this brother for the same purposes I'd get to know any other person mm-hmm. in the church.
I think everyone's shaking their head in agreement, but also thinking, wow, that's hard. extra.
Yeah. There's a few verses I wanted to read. Cause I do think we should, I think we should at times and often go out of our way, out of our comfort zones mm-hmm. to befriend and to walk with and have fellowship with all in the church as much as we can. We may not be able to have deep, intimate relationships with everyone, but we should at least try. We should at least reach out, see how people are doing, connect, be friends with.
That was the example that Jesus gave to us. Like, he didn't do his ministry by himself. He invited others to come alongside him.
Yeah. Even down to the little children.
Yeah.
The disciples are like, get these children out here. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let the little ones come to me. So 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another. In the New King James Version, that says, strive for harmony instead of aim for restoration, but strive for harmony, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And then in Philippians 1:27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I think that this should be the baseline disposition for us as Christians in the church, that we don't just, well, I have my handful of close friends because we're all in the same life stage. This is easy. That's good to have that. But that we see the others in the church that aren't like us. We see the others in the church that are in different life stages than us. We see the people in the church that are different ages as us. And we say, I want to be with one spirit with them. Mm-hmm. And I want to strive side by side with them for the faith of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. The verse that comes to my mind when you are saying this is like iron sharpens iron, mm-hmm. and how the coming together of friendships really stirs one another up to understand more about life and about mm-hmm. God's word and about what's happening. And I'm just always encouraged by what it means when friends come together and experience that.
Yeah. And I know we talk about this in a way that, like, almost like we've figured it out. I promise you we have not. It's something that God is constantly teaching us things in, constantly. Even today, we're talking about our relationships and saying, Lord, how do we cultivate these better? Mm-hmm. And so my friend Cody also mentioned an idea for this topic is, what kind of example are we showing to our children on how to be good friends? Mm-hmm. And so we just wanted to, this is for all of us. It's not just to our children, but these are some things that we can be practicing in front of our kids with our friends. Mm-hmm. Things like learn to apologize quickly, which in turn means that we recognize that we need to apologize, not just being oblivious to mm-hmm. our ways of being.
And forgive.
Yeah. Forgiving. Yeah. Cause we tell our kids all the time, forgive your brother, apologize to your brother. being patient. Are we patient with our friends or are we short and like, oh, you don't mess up again or else, or I can't believe you did that. But are we patient? Like, oh, maybe they just had a hard day. Oh, maybe they didn't mean that. Mm-hmm. Like that benefit of the doubt thing.
I would also add showing them how to invest and make time for friends, like having them over for dinner or helping them in an emergency. You know, like those types of experiences mm-hmm. always make me feel closer to another friend when we can rely on each other or make plans together, hearing randomly from each other. And when you can just be in each other's presence without that obligation of feeling like you have to entertain or host, mm-hmm. you can be yourself and be loved. Like the kids are paying attention to all of that.
And speaking of example to our children, the example that we could be giving to our friends is when we walk in these things, we're being an example of how we would want them to be a friend to us. Mm-hmm. That whole golden rule thing.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you would want them to recognize quickly that they need to apologize, then do that. If you would want them to be patient with you, then be patient with them. If you would want them to reach out to you and check on you, reach out to them and check on them. Reach out and say, what's going on? How are you doing? Can we catch up? Can we get lunch? Can I bring you a coffee? If you would want someone to bring you a treat and just remind you that they love you, do that. Mm-hmm. And then the last piece I want to add to this is we've dealt with this when we go through hard things, when we are struggling with a sin, when we're struggling with frustrations, angers, anxieties, all these things. It's easy to retreat into ourselves,
isolate.
But we should do the very opposite. We should, because we always think like, you're going through something. Why didn't you tell me? But when then we have a hard time doing it, we can be an example in reaching out and saying, I'm struggling today. I'm mad at my husband. I'm frustrated with my wife. I need prayer in this area. And I'm not saying do it to gossip, because that some people are probably listening saying, wait a minute. I'm saying if you have those close friends that you trust and that we would reach out and say, I'm not okay right now. Please pray for me, or please come over, or can I come over? And that shows an example of what we would love for them to do. Because we would, if you truly love someone, you want them to let you know when they're having a hard day, when they're struggling, so you can be like, hey, how can I help? So I just wanted to end with that little bit.
That's good. If I was going to end with something, I was going to say, and obviously our kids are still young, so I don't have the fruit of this to prove to you guys or anything like that. But something that I really care about is that my kids feel like they have friendships within each of their relationships with each other. And so if you're a parent of multiples, knowing that you have an opportunity every day to set the vision for your kids of what friendship can look like when they're older. And that can be as simple as saying things like, you know, when you're older, you're going to call up your brother and ask him to go to lunch with you, and just giving them like this anticipation for what friendship will be like when they're mm-hmm. older, and encouraging them to start now by how they communicate and how they interact with each other. And I've been trying to do that in our kids' relationship. So again, I don't know what will come of it, but I think we're all pretty friendly in our family.
We're trying. Yeah.
So
we have our days. So we hope that encouraged you guys. It was just a quick conversation about friendships. It's like 40 minutes or something like that. But
it has been a message that has been a core value of ours, and a message that we've promoted over the years just amongst friends, that we should be cultivating these relationships. It's an important thing to us.
Yeah. So why don't we transition into the challenge, and then we'll pray for you guys.
All right. Well, it's called a weekly challenge because it is challenging. So if you didn't make it through last week's challenge, that's okay. No one's going to judge you.
We forgive you.
We also did not make it through last week's challenge, but that's okay. So we just want to encourage you to take up this week's challenge and see what comes of it.
And maybe add on last week's challenge too, and just keep it going. There you go.
We don't want to burden you guys. Take from it what you can. This week's challenge can be done with your spouse, or you can do it together with some of your friends. But it's just initiate a deep conversation. Share about fears or doubts. Share about your dreams for your marriage or your family. Share about what God's been teaching you or showing you through His Word.
Love it. It's a good challenge.
It's good. That's it.
So, babe, why don't you pray for us?
Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of friendship. We pray we would grow in our ability and willingness to invest in our friendships. We pray we would cultivate our friendships as we care for others and share our lives together. We pray we would be a light to our friends and seek to be a blessing as we choose to serve them. Lord, please show us how we can be praying for our friends. Please show us how we can be encouraging our friends. When conflict or uncomfortable discussions arise, we pray your Holy Spirit would help us navigate these situations with grace and love. We pray we will always communicate in love with our friends. We pray for good friends who we can rely on, and we pray that we would be reliable friends. When we feel insecure in our friendships, please lead us in finding peace in those relationships. We pray your will would be done in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Marriage After God podcast.
If you found today's episode fun and encouraging, please take a moment to share it on social media or in an email to some of your married friends.
Also, would you please take a moment and leave us a review? Reviews help to spread the word about our podcast.
Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and you can always check out more of our resources at marriageaftergod.com.
You can follow us on social media for more marriage encouragement on Facebook and Instagram at Marriage After God, at Husband Revolution, and at Unveiled Wife.
We hope you have an incredible week and look forward to sharing more with you next week on the Marriage After God podcast. Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join the thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com. La, 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 la.